We'll call the meeting to order. This is the December 13th regular meeting of the Cambria Community Service Districts. And if you would rise and join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance, I'd appreciate it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We did that just for you so you could take a picture. Okay, let the record show that all five board members are present, so we have a quorum. And there was item 1D, there was no closed session last month, so we have no report of closed session. So item 1E is to accept the certification by San Luis Obispo County Clerk of November 2nd, 2010, election results. General Manager Rudock, would you like to present the staff?
You know, we put together just a brief staff report that shows that the final official results from Julie Rodewald, the county clerk recorder for Slo County, as of November 2nd, are attached from page 7 on. And let's see, they go through page 7 to page 13. Mm-hmm. And you all just merely need to receive them or accept them. You don't even have to take any formal action.
We don't actually have to take any formal action?
No.
So just receive and file?
Yeah.
All right. Without objection, we'll do that. That takes us to item 1F, which is administering the oath of office to the newly elected directors. So what we're going to do is have the newly elected directors individually take the oath of office with our district clerk administering that. So Director Tompkins, if you'd like, Thompson, excuse me, if you'd like to go to the podium. And Sally Thompson, I know you're in the audience. Would you come up and join your husband, please? We'll get a picture for you, too. Jan was in the audience. Jan, would you like to come up and join your husband?
I think she got more voice than I did. I, Jim Beringer, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California, and I take this obligation freely, without any mental reservation of or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, we all welcome you to the board. Okay, we'll move on to then item 1G, which is the election of officers. We will elect officers for the president of the board and for the vice president of the board. So I will accept nominations for the presidency.
I would nominate Merle Cliff for president of the board.
Is there a second?
I would second that.
Any additional nominations? Any discussion? If not, then all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. We will accept nominations for vice president. Director DeMichel?
Yes, I'd like to preface both for the vice president, also yours. I think that I'd like to nominate Alan McKinnon to be vice president. I think the mural and yourself and Director McKinnon did a great job with our review of the costs and operations, worked closely with and seemed to develop a good relationship with our general manager in carrying out a lot of the important things that needed to be done. And so I'd like to nominate Alan McKinnon as vice president.
I second that.
Moved by Director D'Amico, seconded by Director Tompkins. Any additional? If not, any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Pass unanimously. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll move on to 2A for special reports. I noticed the Sheriff's Department has a representative here today, so if you'd like to make your report.
Good afternoon, Commander of Enforcement of the Sheriff's Department. Mr. Thompson, Mr. Berenger, Mr. Clift, and Mr. McKinnon, congratulations. The Sheriff's Department Dispatch Center received 132 calls in the Cambria area between last month's meeting and today. Of those calls, 7 resulted in crime reports and or arrests, 33 were EMS calls, 10 incident reports were taken, 1 traffic citation was issued. Of the crime reports and arrests, they included a vandalism report, 2 burglary reports, 1 trespassing report, 1 spousal battery report, 2 arrests for public intoxication, 4 disturbance of the peace calls, 1 involving music, none of them were identified as vacation rental locations, and 1 shots heard call. And that's what we had for the month. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them.
Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Happy holidays.
Okay, same to you. Have a nice holidays. We'll move on then to item 3, acknowledgments and presentations, and we have none. Item 4 is an agenda review. Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda? Any directors wish any of the consent items pulled?
Number 7A.
7A. We'll deal with 7A separately. Okay, we'll move on then to public comment. The public comment is for members of the public that may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board, but not on the agenda today. In compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot discuss or act on items not on the agenda. Since this is the first meeting that I have chaired, it might be good to give a brief overview of expectations on public comment. It is just that, and we have been warned as a board not to participate in items that could bring about discussions or decisions that 20 minutes, and then we would go on with the rest of the meeting. There is in the second public comment period at the end of the meeting for those who wish to additional comments. I have 2 requests to speak. One is from Ron Crumpet.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Congratulations to the new members, the new directors of the board, Mike and Jim. I'm sure you're going to get a lot of information from the incumbents there as to what you're up against and what you're going to be working with. But I think you're going to be in good hands, and you're going to help out the people. You're both business people. You both know a lot of people in town, and I think it's going to work out really, really very fine. I think the current election was a mandate to continue on in the direction that the prior board was going. I feel that my suggestion would be is that you try to adapt a feeling or attitude of inclusion. When you already have an election, you always have some people that are on one side and some on the other side. Now's the time, I think, for Cambrians to come together and work on behalf of the whole good for the community. So if you can get a feeling of inclusion of everybody, I think that would be very, very helpful. In addition, I think if you can legally and ethically adapt a demeanor of transparency, I think that would be very, very helpful as well. I would suggest that maybe you might even have a booth out at the farmer's market once in a while, so you can get to talk to the people who you don't come to these meetings, or the silent majority that just doesn't talk, but they would maybe talk if you're there and give some meaningful help. As Kipling said, it's proper to walk with kings, but keep the common touch. And I'm sure that you all are going to do that. And once again, congratulations. Good luck next year.
Thank you, Ron. The next speaker is Catherine Hine.
Hello, good afternoon. Both of our new board members, Mr. Beringer and Mr. Thompson, when you were running for this office, made mention that one part of your platform would be more accessibility and more transparency of this government, which I appreciate and obviously will be optimistic and hope that that will continue to be a priority. I actually come with a potential suggestion that I don't expect you to address today as to one small way that could be accomplished, and that would be if maybe in the upcoming year or your administration that you consider maybe giving us back standing committees. For those of you who don't remember, standing committees disappeared ostensibly as a way of saving money, somehow noticing the fact that a public meeting was about to take place was deemed too expensive. This didn't seem to me like a really great reason at the time, but it seems like less so now in light of, I'm guessing everyone is familiar with this story that they did on KSBY News about how much we pay our general manager. I knew that we paid our general manager over $200,000 in total compensation. I didn't know that we paid our general manager an extra $1,250 a month as a housing stipulation, a housing whatever, because I don't know why, because somehow it's expensive to live in Cambria, but the average Cambria median income is $50,000. So that's what most Cambrians are managing to live on. Anyway, the point that I'm making, I don't mean to sound diffuse about my point. The point that I'm making is that we can afford to have 19 employees who make over $100,000 a year in total compensation. And according to the board, we can afford a $20 million desal plant with or without federal funds. And yet the same board says two things. We can't afford to publicly notice meetings, so we'll have all the meetings basically in private and have them be ad hoc meetings, ad hoc committees. And that we can no longer afford to transcribe public comments and make them part of the permanent record. And then the figures on that, the numbers, are so incomprehensibly off balance that I'm afraid it gives the impression that really it's more about having meetings in private and burying comments. I know that you'll say that isn't the case, and I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying I know your thoughts or your reasoning. I'm saying that's the impression that it gives. Okay. And I think that it would be a very good step toward transparent government. Even counsel said it's a fine line when the decision was made to go with all ad hoc committees. For example, the Finance Committee has become an ad hoc committee. How can one really say that finances are not an ongoing concern? Really only by parsing it down to say, well, this is the 2010 ad hoc committee for finances, and 2010 isn't on.
Point out what some of them are, and I especially would like to respond because I feel that ex-director Sanders made disparaging comments in the paper, the Cambrian, the issue before last, about my voters, saying that they had not looked deeply into the issues. That we had conducted an unfair or some negative kind of a campaign. And this is absolutely not the case. I feel that I must defend my voters about those comments, and I did in a letter to the Cambrian, which did not get printed. And that's another reason why I'm here. I have here are just four examples of the unanswered questions that your board needs to address. And I wanted to thank Mr. Hubbard. Is it Mr. Hubbard? This gentleman's name, I'm forgetting it. Is Mr. Hubbard? Cromit, I'm sorry. I wanted to say I appreciated his note of wanting you to be inclusive. I very much thank you for that, Mr. Kermit. Anyway, some of these unanswered questions are, in the current Water Board report, Why is the estimated water demand for the design for the new plant in our water plan significantly higher than the amount of water the average home is now using? There is an increase in what they assume we're going to need. Why, in times when the data shows that water demand is going down, not up? A second question is, while the district is to be commended in installing purple pipes to bring water reserves from the ponds outside of town into town for recycling, why has that project not gone on further than it has? Why does it seem to be stuck on Main Street? What is the true story about the failure of or rejection of offers made by ranchers for water storage? We seem to be getting different stories from the ranchers and from the board on what happened with those negotiations. And why, for those have served so long, especially those that were on the board for a long time, how come they allowed the salaries and the benefits of the staff to get to such an outlandishly high level? And why have environmental reviews continued to be pushed aside? These and many other unanswered questions remain, and there are at least 1,452 of us out here who want those answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. The last one that I have a slip here for is Richard Margetson. There's Richard.
Good afternoon. I was here last month doing a presentation on the Maxine Lewis Memorial Shelter Homeless Fundraiser in Los Osos, the Needs and Wishes Fundraiser. I had to come back today because of what the children of your community accomplished. Coast Union's Interact Club, which is the Junior Rotary, last year collected coins, got the ball rolling. There will always be a special gold star next to the total that they raised last year, which was $1,391.13. The question I was asked the most after the event last year was how much they raised. So that number is embedded in my head probably for life. This year, the club went to farmers market. You probably saw them at farmers market. They had containers in the grocery store. They put 3-gallon jugs at the middle school and the elementary school. They came and presented their collection on stage at the event on Saturday. It was very impressive, but at that point, nobody knew the total. I took it in this morning to Coast Union Bank in San Luis, and their total this year was $2,475.51. I had to come up here, announce it, because I will be getting phone calls from people the rest of this week in this community and other communities on what the total was. So I'm taking this opportunity to get some of that information out there. Also need to thank Jennifer Duarte, their guidance counselor, who kind of kept them organized and got it out into the other schools. She also came and presented with them on Saturday. And Steve Spizak from the Rotary Club, whose idea it was last year to have me come and show them the homeless video and kind of got them off and running with this. I encourage everybody to...
Number six, the manager and board reports. Manager Rudon.
Thanks. I've got just a couple of items in the administration, and the first one is to remind everyone that next month's board meeting is the third Thursday rather than the fourth Thursday. It's a different date, January 20th at 12:30 here at Vets Hall, and that's to accommodate the Art and Wine Festival that occurs annually in January. And then the Vanscoyuc report is committed for October, November. That it was combined. It's attached to this report. The holiday notice, we have a holiday for New Year's on December 31st. Last month I reported the holiday for Christmas is falling on Friday December 24th, where I think that's already going to be an office closure date anyway. So for the New Year's, it's on Friday, December 31st. Any emergencies or service interruptions can be reported to our 24-hour answering service at 927-6223. Last month, I mentioned and attached the voluntary lot merger report, and I inadvertently failed to mention Ben Bolden. He is the open space chair. And I didn't mean to do that. I had acknowledged Ron Crummett as the chair for the Citizens Committee for the Build-Out Reduction Program, and I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we work closely with Ben and John Linder. There's just a two-member committee that we meet with on an ad hoc basis to discuss the progress and or any direction that the voluntary lot merger program needs to move forward. We met as a PROS commission. The five members met on December 7th, and the next regular meeting is Tuesday, March 1st, here at Vets Hall at 10 a.m. Moving on to Al Labossiere's finance manager report. It begins on page 17. He reports the balance in the local agency investment fund as of November 30th was $4,048,432. He also provides an analysis in the investment section because we had previously reported pretty much verbally out at a meeting that we had met with Alan McKinnon and Peter Shaldicott at the time on an ad hoc basis with regard to the investments and how much they might bring in additional revenue. And you can see all of the technical details that Al Labossiere has put in with regard to the minimal amount of interest that might be provided with regard to investing outside of LAIF. Okay, so these are external investments outside of LAIF. So he based everything, reviewing it and comparing it to the return, rate of return that we get on our LAIF reserves. It was determined, and I've previously reported this, but this is just his documentation, that the Finance Ad Hoc Committee and staff decided for the current time we're just monitoring it, and for the little amount that we would receive in interest and or the amount of disbursements we'd have to put out into banks in order to keep it under the or at the $250,000 FDIC insured level would be almost a challenge to manage right now. So anyway, we're just providing those details. I promised to follow up, and there it is. So any direction from the board other than that, and we'll probably be meeting again after the audit is presented in January and discussing it further. Al attaches the information with regard to the external loans with up-to-date information. Jerry Gruber, our utilities manager, has his report on page starting at page 21, and he is just kind of indoctrinated himself in all of the operations for water and sewer and facilities and resources, and he's working on a few projects, coordinating with San Luis Obispo County personnel and getting to know them and ensuring that maybe we might actually get a contract in place for the SR4 water well with the Coast Unified School District. And then he is working with a radio contract between the Cambria CSD and the county and coordinating some information now as he gets to learn about the SCADA system and what we can do to get that thing as effectively and efficiently done. He does attach this month the San Simeon Creek well levels. I understand he and District Engineer Bob Gressen's work to tidy this chart up. Remember how it was just all those lines and years? So I think it's nicer now, and it presents it a little bit cleaner with the previous highs, previous lows, the average, and then 2010 is the one with the little diamonds. Okay, so it just gives a better bird's eye view of what San Simeon Creek well levels look like. And these are out on the website as well. Moving on to the fire chief's report, staff did apply for a grant application with the Assistance to Firefighters grant, that AFG program that we've received funds from before, and that was to replace engine 5797. It's a 22-year-old fire engine. We put in for $358,000. It was a 95% funded grant, and unfortunately, the CCSD was denied, so they have only so many funds, and they're limited. So I want to say thanks to the staff who worked on getting that grant application together to ensure that we're trying to reach out and get as many grant funds as possible. Mark mentions in his report about prevention, as I reported maybe last month or month before, the fire crews went out and did the hotel motels and some of the commercial activities with regard to fire inspections. So now they're moving on to restaurant owners, and they've already had their kickoff meeting on November 2nd, and they're going to be doing third
dash pumper. We have a $248,000 balance on that. We are paying 5% compounded for the next 6 years. Now, it's that $248,000. Now we like a good cash. You know, I like to have reserves, and that's what, whether you call it reserves or our lay funds. But the fact is, if we're not going to get anything from anywhere, then we're not doing something. We're not doing anything. So I, whatever needs to be done according to council to get something like this in a real discussion, I'd like to see that thing paid off. I mean, first of all, this is not a capital asset. It's a depreciating asset. It gets old, it gets worthless. Okay? When you talk about long-term bonds, the 20-year, 30-year bonds for your capital assets like water mains, sewers, pumping stations, treatment plants, that's what bonds should be paid for. But this loan here is just, it's a drag. And like I said, 5% compound is 6 years. I'm sure a finance person could tell us what we're saving over that period, even if we pay the 2% principal. So in other words, you lay out $5,000 now, but, you know, my quick numbers is, you know, you're going to be saving, you know, probably about $40,000 overall. So maybe in that $30,000 out of it. So I'd like to see that explored a little bit. And again, it's something that's wear and tear. We have operation and maintenance issues that we're probably going to need, that we are paying for, I'm sure, to keep it up and well. So let's take that off, and we're left with the utility bonds, which is the right thing because those are long-term investments. Okay. The other item, I just and I guess I'll wait until after Bob gives his discussion. It has to do with the. His report. Okay, thank you.
Director Behringer, did you have?
No.
Okay, I thought you were earlier. I have a couple of questions, and one of my questions is similar to Director D'Amico's. On the external loans, the showing the projected balances on these, are these the projected balances after making the annual payment or before making the annual payment? In other words, does the projected balance contemplate that the annual payment has already been made for that year? And I don't know.
I'll have to check with that.
We'll
put it as a little footnote.
Because I'm concerned the same way Frank is that if we get some of these down and we're seeing a continuing growth of the life balance, that earning a 0.5% on life or avoiding 4% and 5% on the other side might be a smart financial decision. We just have to ask for the numbers on that. I had one other question. On the well levels, even though this is a simplified tracking on the website, do we still have the one that shows all of the tracking? Because it did give some ideas of current of years as to when it moved back
Bob,
and forth.
Do you know is the detailed one on the website?
Well, I'm certainly have them, and I think I have to also say that I think it was Jim Adams that was working with Jerry on cleaning up that spreadsheet, so he deserves credit on that work. Mm-hmm. Jim typically every month develops the chart, so I'm certain that we still have that chart somewhere.
I just wonder, I know this is good, but a lot of times it was heartful to be able to see that on several years it moves at a certain rate, and I just didn't want to get us in a position where we're looking at just averages, but kind of tracking how years run to some extent. Any other questions, General Manager? Okay, you want to go on then to...
Yes, I want to clarify before BG gets started that you're directing me as a board to bring back an item with regard to the Oshkosh Capital, bringing that back next month?
We probably will.
Has a discussion.
Yeah, we'll have a discussion on it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Tammy. I'll be brief and just feel free to ask me questions or stop me if something... you need to. The desalination project, as you know, the Army Corps did not receive the right of entry permit from state parks to conduct their investigation on the main paleo channel area. It was disclosed that the beach area was also part of a natural preserve area, which created issues with state parks as far as having motorized vehicles out there and so forth. So Army Corps is still strategizing on that right now. We are doing our best to work with their consultants in the meantime to develop preliminary alternatives on the desalination project. However, we do need that data on the paleo channel, and that's a key piece of information that we would help in defining the feasibility of that location, which is the Army Corps' original effort was to determine the feasibility out there. CDM has begun, just preliminary alternative.
2.5 million gallons per day. I mean, the same magnitude of desalinization, and they're working with the CDM technologies, and I also think that they're working with the finance consultants, Bartle Wells Associates. It seems like it would be good data to have a relationship and kind of bounce off what they know. It would help us as well.
Yeah, we do our best to stay in touch with one another.
Good, good.
I know Santa Cruz is a little bit different. They're using a marine laboratory for their pilot study,
for
which
their
is
pilot
an open
study.
Intake. It had an existing permitted open intake because it was a marine research laboratory. So I know they're going forward with an open screened intake type system, which will be very interesting to see how
exactly.
That goes through the permitting process with the various resource agencies.
Well, I think that their EIR has already been certified.
I'm not sure. I think there was some earlier environmental clearance work done on their pilot study.
Yeah, and that is
I'll have to double check and get back to you full project's EIR, EIS.
The fact that you're aware of it and you're in contact, that's fine. Fine.
Thank you.
It'd be worth checking on.
Sure, definitely.
Director D'Amico, did you have some questions?
I'd like to just for our new planning effort later on and really for our thoughts this year. Whatever happens, what has happened already has required the Corps to reexamine how they're going to get the explorations at the beach done. And what I think we've done, and I've gotten that comment during the last few months from people, you know, while it is an important and probably our highest priority, we should not be letting the Stewart Street and Rodeo Grounds facility of, I guess, what's that latest thing now, be held hostage to this desal.
Absolutely.
So what I'd like to make sure that we look at, and I'll have a little more discussion maybe when we talk about the financial advisor, is that two things. We have adequate technical staff. We now have Mr. Gruber here and Mr. Greshens. We have the ability, unless I hear something different from Bob Greshens, is that the seeker is going through, the process is going, he has a plan. RBF should be able to create documents, bid documents, and I think I'd like to bring that up, whether it's at some meeting, schedule it, that we have a good discussion and start talking with the public about going ahead with the two projects, because they are separate but equal in my mind in a sense of sensitivity, because we're talking about the what I call house fire issues. In other words, structure fire protection is the tank and the pump station, and that's what we need. And we have available water supply to fill a tank overnight, so we should be doing that so that we close the book and make sure that for something that's been so successful, the previous boards have completed a successful project of increasing the capabilities to pump water, pressure, and necessary fire flows throughout the town. This is one weak link that's got to be closed. We still have the earthquake retrofits on a couple of tanks, but I would like to get the storage, the online storage up, which is the tank, and also the step pumping because of our number of different heads because of the the terrain of our community. So just keep going and expedite and push and let's get it.
Certainly, we agree.
I think it was necessary so that we don't the comment, and unless somebody objects, is that we don't want that people have to make time allotments. Time management is the most important thing in life as far as I'm concerned, in business, if you will. And while you could probably spend your lifetime on desal over the next 2 years, we cannot let Stewart Street and the rodeo grounds just kind of fall by the wayside. And it's an issue that, and like I said, we have with Mr. Gruber here now, I think there's more reliance on capability and I would have no problem with him working with you and RBF and stop planning what's going to happen. Because operationally, it's another thing. Operations has to start thinking about how this gets done. Because it is, and you've addressed it, and I appreciate that. But I think it's got to get into the operating side so that contract documents recognize this, because we have this problem on every project I've ever been on, is when you're dealing within an existing system, the contractor has to be as aware as the operators as to what his constraints are when he tries to do things. Just can't come in, shut off all the pipes, and build his tank. So that's something that we have to develop that I do not believe, and I cannot imagine RBF has that background. And maybe would not have put it in the bid docs, and it's got to be in the bid documents. Okay.
Well, we certainly echo your sentiments on that.
Yeah.
And
okay,
I'm really looking forward to working with Jerry.
And all of us here in Cambria, not only those sweet people who voted for you. So I look forward to this very much as an interesting public policy event in our monthly activities here in Cambria. I urge the public who aren't here today to look at the federal lobbyist letter that's always in the agenda packet on the website for CCSD. It rarely gets any discussion here, but it is a fascinating letter for 2 months, this particular month in December. So go to the website, please. I am speaking now on the agreement that the CCSD has with the Army, with the Department of the Army as amended. And I've written this out, I'll just read it. In that agreement, it says that by October 31st, 2010, and by each quarterly anniversary thereof until the conclusion of the period of construction and resolution of all relevant claims and appeals and eminent domain proceedings, the government shall provide the non-federal sponsor, namely CCSD, with a report setting forth all contributions provided to date and the current projections of the total project, and the projections of the following. And it starts a long list, which I won't start reading to you again, as I attempted in a previous meeting, but including it starts with the total project cost. The remainder of Section A, and my end of quotation, the remainder of Section A is highly specific in naming the kinds of costs and contributions that will be at issue in the proposed desalination plant. I request that the quarterly report for October 31st, 2010, be included in the agenda packet for your next meeting in January. And if the report has not been sent to CCSD, I request that the public be told this. So we're 6 months now, 6 weeks beyond when that report was due. Number two, in Article 5 of the agreement, the project coordination team is stipulated and described. My question first is, who are the members of the team representing the non-federal sponsor, namely CCSD? Second, how may a member of the public regularly receive the minutes of the project coordination team meetings? And third, does the project coordination team meet regularly with the Chambers Group, namely the consultants that the Army Corps has hired to do the EIR-EIS? Question number three. The contract with the Chambers Group states under four on page two, for, quote, for this project, the Army Corps of Engineers is the federal lead agency responsible for compliance with the National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA, and the Cambria Community Services District is the lead agency under the California Environmental Quality Act, under CEQA, for CEQA, as amended, end of quotation. Question number one under this, how will the final program level EIR for the CCSD Water Master Plan be used by the Chambers Group for the project EIS-EIR? Mm-hmm. Second, will some of the $3 million of the in-kind contributions that CCSD got be used to pay CCSD's share of the contract with the Chambers Group, assuming that they are using EIR-EIS material that already has been done by CCSD? And my final question. In item 6B today, which we are now on, it says, the core consultant, CDM, has begun preliminary efforts that will lead to the definition of various project alternatives for further assessment within a project-level EIR-EIS environmental clearance process, end of quotation. And then it goes on to talk about how the Chambers Group and CDM are cooperating with each other. That's in the agenda material for today. When I submitted a public records request to CCSD and then at the staff's instruction to the Army Corps of Engineers, neither had any contract with the CDM. The contract with the Chambers Group has no element specifying a subcontract for preliminary design of the proposed desalination plant. Has a contract for that preliminary design been signed between ACE and CDM since November 30th, which is the date of my most recent email from Army Corps of Engineers regarding this issue? And if there is a contract which has been signed since November 30th with CDM and the Army Corps of Engineers, does CCSD have a copy? I do not necessarily look forward to I look forward to your answers, but do not necessarily expect that you would be able to answer all these questions today. And if you want to email me, you have my email address, and I will look forward to the January meeting, certainly, to find answers to some of these questions. Thank you.
General Manager, do you want to comment on any of them right now, or do you want to hold off and prepare a...
have to get to, you know, bring it back next month.
Okay.
I know that I do not have the quarterly report. I've asked for it several times.
Right.
So. Here, we have spent, you know, so much money to date on trying to implement the desal project. Seems to me if you're a finance person, this would be an important thing to keep tally of. I'm reading the paper and seeing how you guys are exploring, you know, financing for the desal plant. That doesn't give me a lot of confidence that we're going to be reimbursed for what we have spent to date, nor does it give me confidence that we're going to get any help in the future. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. This is not definitive. So I think it would be fair to give the community, the people that are paying the bill, me and everybody else, you know, an idea of what we have spent up to date, say through December 31st this year. I think this is a very fair and honest question. Anybody got an answer?
Well, you know, the answer to the question might be very difficult because you have to have a starting date.
Well, why don't you start with 1-1-2005? How's that?
Okay, because, you know, when I first started looking at coming to Cambria, there was a desal plant planned and things, and so we can probably generate from...
I think a five-year period would give us a view.
That question, to me, Jeff, seems a lot because I think we've probably beat to death over the last 2 years the discussion that even the federal government recognizes that we spent approximately $3 million. That's why they're giving us the theoretical credit for that $3 million as part of our, quote, in-kind contribution.
Is there an income statement?
You asked for an order of magnitude, yeah. I think. I don't know. If you want to actually see all the books and records, we'd have to probably see right. But I mean, from what I understand, unless somebody has some other information, we obviously wouldn't have left off thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars if we were trying to make a claim of the project. Mm-hmm. And I've seen the reams of information that did go to back up that $3 million claim, not claim, but expenditures. So, I mean, three is that. I mean, maybe a little higher now.
So the committee spent
there's
about...
another $1,666,000 that we allocated last year, which Elizabeth has always brought up as an issue. But, I mean, we're in that order of magnitude of three to maybe three and a half by now.
Okay, that answers
but,
the question.
If you look at, if you want to take all the EIRs, but master plan the EIRs, I mean, so that's, I mean, that's the order of magnitude.
Okay. That's fair.
I mean, in my mind, I don't need to be an auditor to do it, but I'm sure somebody ordered it. The federal government apparently ordered it, so I'm satisfied that that's the amount.
Well, that's good. Last but not least, maybe I should have said at the beginning, you know, congratulations to the new directors. I hope in the spirit of the three directors that we elected, the previous election you will jump into and do as good a job with them as they have done so far in addressing the business problems of this community and honing in a little bit on the financial irresponsibility as we've all, you know, overdone, you know, talked about too much. So good luck to you and, you know, keep our wallets in our pockets, not, you know, all drifting out to the CCSD. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Having no one else listed on that, we will move on to item 7, which is the consent
agenda. Director McKinnon has asked that we pull 7A, so we will deal with that first and then deal with the whole consent agenda after that. Director McKinnon?
Yeah, very briefly, this is no attempt to blast our fine legal counsel, which I have a lot of respect. But I just look back over the 6 months, and we're averaging somewhere around $17,000-$18,000 a month. And that's no fault of Carmen and Kasia. But it does point out the fact that the litigation services for LandWatch and Lindsay, and the public should realize that, we have no alternative. But the budget has been impacted by that expense, and it has to be. Legally, we have to defend ourselves, and the public should realize how much we are spending. So this in total, in a yearly basis, is probably going to be close to $200,000. Any comment, General Manager, from that standpoint? Or Tim, I'm good with you. No, not at all. But I do say that it is an amounting expenditure that it'd be nice if we didn't have to spend. We could spend it in other things.
I'm glad you pulled the item, Director McKinnon. The general and administration component of the legal fees has been actually less than the monthly retainer for the last 3 months, I believe. This month it was $5,400, about $1,150 below our monthly retainer. It's the litigation that's killing us.
I know.
And this month, I believe, was about $9,500 in litigation, about $3,700 in the two LandWatch cases and $3,300 in Lindsay. So very little you can do except react to litigation when you're a defendant, and we wish it wasn't as significant as...
And that's LandWatch 1. Sorry for you new directors. We had to number them just so we could keep up with them ourselves. We're in the process now. Mike's been inquiring as to when we're going to be paid the almost $2,400,000 back for the admin record. It could be that what the ploy is potentially with this new discovery request to try to enter into some sort of settlement agreement. But my direction from the board is very clear that we'll collect the $24,000 as the board has directed staff to do, and we'll just continue to follow up. So we'll maybe have more to report next month. January 31st is the date for the court down in Santa Barbara to, you know, to hear if the LandWatch 2 is going to be dismissed.
Director DeMinco.
I just want to point out, and I think that was the purpose of your discussion, much of this money, even if we use $3,500 out of it, we're running about $10,000 or $12,000 a month to react to lawsuits brought against us. I don't know, have we initiated a lawsuit in the last 2 years that I've been here?
No, these are all... Yeah,
so we are not, as a board, being litigious, if you will, at that point. The other thing I want to bring up, because it was, I believe, a good decision that we made, the board, the prior board members and some of the members still here today. If you remember, if for the total cost of our community, though, we are actually in a good position, than as good, if not better, than we were 2 or 3 years ago. And with no disrespect to any of our in-house legal counsel, but it was a cost which we then still had outside counsel handling it.
Right.
So I want to congratulate Tammy Rudock and Carmen and Akasha, because they've been able to coordinate their efforts, and we still, I believe, like I said, I think we're well ahead of where we would have been 2 or 3 years ago, because it was the prior issue that we had to have our own, you know, counsel in-house, which, you know, with what comes at this board, even for a small town, I could understand that reliance. But I think I would rather rely on a multifaceted team of people, that's why I believe some of these professional services should be outsourced, if you will, because no one lawyer, just like no one engineer, can follow everything under the sun. Yeah. And doesn't have, very few has experience to do everything. Everybody is fairly well professional and specialty. So I appreciate that they're able to bring people who know land use, tax issues, obviously legal and environmental when they need it. And so I think while it's disappointing that we continue to expend this level of money, it's, I think, less than it would have been, and is being handled much more efficiently than it had been in the past. Okay, so.
You feel okay now, Tim? I have one more point.
Okay.
Chief Miller, tremendous respect for your department, but in looking at the expenditure report, see almost $1,000 for coloring books.
For what?
Coloring books.
Oh.
On page 29, the middle of it. I know this is a good thing, but I thought it was kind of... It says safety coloring books. You remember that?
See that?
That's the entire package of fire prevention materials that were purchased for Fire Prevention Week.
Uh-huh.
That's a kind of an ongoing thing. There's a lot of stuff that goes along with that. Pamphlets, coloring books, stickers. It's the supply of fire prevention material that we buy for the entire year.
Super.
We should have used a better description.
Better description.
Yeah,
that was the key.
I was wondering if you were going to see that. I looked at that myself.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
I have two comments. One for the new directors' benefit. The $22,000 we can recover from Land Watch is not our total cost. It was just we can't recover. Well, maybe you could explain that quickly.
That's a very good point. It is clearly just for preparation of the administrative record, and clearly just staff's time and any hard costs, so any copying, printing, binding. Okay, this did not include Carmel and Nakasha's legal or litigation expenses. So it's just those of us on the admin team and district engineer Bob Gresson's the work that we did to put the admin record together.
Okay, so we're not really recovering the total cost of those lawsuits.
Not at all.
Secondly, I know the financial thing here is set up by vendor. Is it possible to split it so that part of it is the administrative record and part of it is the outside law lawsuit record?
Are you talking about the $24,000?
No, just the just which are relative to
okay, so they are
outside law.
They are already. So if you look on page 27,
yeah,
you see how the $6,600 at the very top on Carmel and Nakasha says admin monthly retainer legal services for November.
Right.
All right, and then look down. You can go down and see all the litigation. So he's got them. And he actually has them broken out by the copy costs or the hard costs. They have very few hard costs at their bills. So everything is broken out with the retainer. So you can see that.
It's basically because it's a couple different months thing. It looks like it's mingled. That's the only
thing. I'll work with Al to see if there's something else that maybe we just have, it's by itself, so you can see the monthly services, and then we'll have the litigation services separate. So you'll just see two Carmel and Nakasha. How about that?
If it's possible. If it's possible, Al. All right. Okay. Do you want... yeah, it's up to... Yeah. All right, then... do we have a motion on 7A?
I move approval of 7A.
Second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded to approve expenditures for the month of November 2010. Any discussion? Any further? If not, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes. Now, would the general manager read the remainder of the consent calendar before we have a motion on that?
Sure. 7B is to approve the minutes of the Board of Directors meeting November 10th, 2010. 7C is to consider adoption of Resolution 62-2010 authorizing banking powers. 7D is to consider Resolution 63-2010 authorizing the establishment of a non-interest-bearing account at Heritage Oaks Bank. 7E is to consider adoption of Resolution 64-2010 authorizing a special depository agreement with Heritage Oaks Bank. 7F is to cast ballot electing Merle Clift as a special district member to the Local Agency Formation Commission. This is LAFCO for the term expiring December 2012. And 7G is to consider the nomination of Merle Clift as a special district member to the SLO County Integrated Waste Management Authority.
We have a motion.
So moved.
Have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and second to approve the consent calendar. I have nobody to speak on it, so all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Move on to item 8A, which is a public hearing to adopt ordinance 02-2010 of the Board of Directors of the Cambria Community Service District, amending CCSD Code Chapter 6.04 and adopting and amending the 2010 edition of the California Fire Code and 2009 edition of the International Wildland Urban Interface Code and the National Fire Protection Association Standard 1144. General Manager Rudick, would you present the staff report?
Sure, thank you. Last month we introduced this item and we went through several edits and corrections that were made to several pages, and this report today has those made, and that was what was published. If you note, just for background information and for the public's information, there were no new additions proposed for the 2010 code adoption compared to the one that was made in 2007. However, the fire chief does delineate several deletions, and those are contained within on page 50 and 51. And then I note, too, at the bottom, or Mark does in the discussion, that it was on November 10th that the board introduced Ordinance 02-2010. It was unanimously approved for introduction, waiving the reading. And then the Resolution 61-2010, with the findings repealing and replacing the previous resolution from the month before, was approved. So this code, the California Fire Code for 2010, is set to take place and be effective on January 1st, 2011. These findings that have been discussed for Cambria will actually take place, if approved by the board today, after the public hearing, 30 days from today's date. So there will be a little bit of a lag between the California Code 2010 edition taking place and our findings being on board here locally. So Mark Miller's here, the fire chief. If there are any specific questions, and everything, again, as I state, including the Resolution 61-2010, is attached in your packet.
Okay, thank you. This is a public hearing, so I will open the public hearing to public comment. I don't have any requests to speak. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to speak on this matter? If not, then I'll close the public hearing and return it back to the board. Is there any discussion on the board?
I'd like to commend Mr. D'Amico for his frank and open discussions with the department. I think he did an excellent job.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it went well, and I hope that I know the chief was very cooperative, and Tammy was very helpful in making sure that we got together, as was Tim Carmel was there, and we got a nice document together, and I think it gives the town future protection as people build and new expansions require fire safety in the form of sprinklers. It also addresses construction issues having to do with new homes and major renovations, so that we do have houses in the community and businesses that are more safe, so that we don't have any structure fires, which could ultimately bring ourselves into a much worse condition with the forest. And also, if there is something in the forest, many of the homes then will be able to protect themselves. They'll be better constructed to resist even the heat and other issues, and especially, I know Chief pointed out, I think in many of his presentations, flying embers are very, very, very dangerous, that they can spread thousands of feet away from where the fire might be. So there's no issue of where the house is. You just don't want to have substandard construction in an environment like this. So I think it's a good document, and I endorse having it passed this period.
We can adopt this by reading the title only.
It's that awkward two-step process. It requires two motions. The first would be to adopt by title only, and then the adoption itself would be reading the full title.
Okay.
And I did want to note one other thing. The county's charged with processing all these uniform fire codes and ratifying them before they go to the state. And this is a compliment to Chief Miller and to staff. The county's actually using Cambria's entire packet as sort of the template for all the other districts and cities in the county. I think you guys are the first out the chute, so I did want to compliment Chief Miller and staff, because that is quite a kudo.
Okay. Then I would accept a motion to adopt Ordinance 2010 by reading by title only.
All right. So moved.
Seconded.
I have a motion.
Do you want me to read the title?
Yes,
so that's on the record?
Please read the title so it's on the record.
Okay.
That motion stands.
Okay.
Take a vote on that.
And then right.
Do I accept?
Oh, we don't need it.
To read it?
No.
It's actually two. I know this sounds terribly archaic and awkward, but it requires one motion just to waive reading. And
okay.
Then the second motion is actually adopting by title.
All right. Okay. So the first motion then is amended to say by reading.
Waive reading of the ordinance.
I'll second. And first and
second.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. And now we need a motion to adopt the ordinance.
Okay. So it's to adopt Ordinance 02-2010, dated December 13, 2010, Ordinance of the Board of Directors of the Cambria Community Services District adopting and amending the 2010 edition of the California Fire Code and 2009 edition of the International Wildland Urban Interface Code and the National Fire Protection Association Standard 1144.
Can I have a motion to that effect? So moved. So moved by Director Tompkins.
Second.
Seconded. Director McKinnon. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Let's move on to item then 9A, which is consider adoption of Resolution 65-2010, authorizing a water loan expenditure of $20,000 from CCSD General Fund Reserves and awarding a contract to Bartle Wells Associate for Financial Consulting Services. General Manager Rowan.
Okay, thank you. So the board directed staff to go out and try to find some consultants that had a financial consulting services background, and then in a separate project, one with engineering consulting services. So this just addresses the financial consulting services. And after meeting with the ad hoc committee that was appointed on September 23rd, 2010, that included Directors D'Amico and McKinnon, staff, and actually I have to commend the directors. They did some really good homework, and Frank actually did some research with Bartle and Wells, and so did Alan with regard to other projects that they worked on, and found that Bartle Wells had a really close nexus to work and have provided these types of services to what we're hunting here in Cambria. Let me talk just a little bit about the fiscal impact. Bartle Wells actually proposed $15,000 for the professional consulting services and then $1,000 for direct expenses with regard to copying or incidental and travel costs. And then I'm adding $4,000 for contingencies because we talked about this on the committee. We really don't have any idea. This is just a good baseline. So that's where I get the total for $20,000. Not a budgeted expense, as we all know, in the operations budget for water, and water has no reserve funds. So we got to borrow them from the general fund reserves, and staff recommends the water loan as previously has been approved by the board. But what could happen as a result of staff vacancies, because we've been having a tough time filling an operator position, the senior operator position, it could be in the operations. We may have enough to, if not compensate for a portion of this, maybe all of it. I don't know. We'll see, depending on that one. So we just need the authority to move forward with this as a loan, and then we'll figure it out at the end of the operations budget for this fiscal year if it may be able to be taken out of operations. So I just provided the background with regard to how we got to this place today and the board's direction to staff. We did develop a request for proposal. We included Directors D'Amico and McKinnon so that they had an opportunity to provide comments and input. We did get three submittals. They're listed there on page 68, Bartle Wells Associates from Berkeley, David Tosig and Associates from Newport Beach, and then the Pager Seeley and Company out of San Francisco. All of these were distributed to the directors on the committee for them to review, and then we met and made the decision to recommend to the board for their consideration Bartle Wells Associates. And they were the most cost competitive, by the way, out of these three. So I did mention that, and then we attached their proposal here to the staff report. And so that's the recommendation for today.
Any discussion?
I just want to reinforce that it goes to a little bit earlier discussion we had on bonding costs, what we have in lay funds. We have the Stewart Street tank and the Rodeo Grounds pump station to look at this year, and obviously the the elephant in the room, the desalination plant. It's going to take financing, and there are multiple ways of financing projects like this. And bottles and wells, and I think it was brought out even by Director McKinnon, by them apparently being involved with the project up north. They had what I see as the most varied capability in coming up with solutions. You're talking about, you know, we talked about it last time. There's a portion of right now the Stewart Street tank and the rodeo grounds. Those are existing customers need that. It would be paid for through there. Sounds like it would be a normal bonding process, and we'll have to look into that. But when we got into the idea of funding the overall cost of the desalination plant, we have federal funds we're expecting, and then we have to make up the difference. And there's a lot going to be new customers involved. They have done various means of financing where the new people who will benefit pay a substantial amount of money having to do with the cost of the plant. And these have been used and been successful throughout California, actually in other areas, but looking at the California experience, since that's the law we'll have to work under. So I think it's going to be very good to have them come up with the ideas and suggestions as we move forward. I do want to point out, and I appreciate the general manager mentioning, besides having the best talent, their price was the best. And that's usually what will happen. They have the experience, and they don't need a lot of effort and time to come up with a new solution when they have multiple solutions to pick from. The highest, Prager, you know, was much higher. So I think we did find someone who's going to give us good service, and I expect that general manager and the engineering will have to get up a lot of data, which goes to an issue that I know was brought up: where are the costs for these things? We're going to have to produce documentation of costs, expenses, anticipated construction costs to get into the financial analysis and hopefully setting up for how we're going to finance all these projects. So I think it's important that we do it, and I'm really glad that and the process that the general manager worked out very well. Thank you.
Director Thompson.
Thank you. During the recent election, I think one of the issues that we heard about the most was relative to the DSL project was where are the funds going to be coming from. And I think having a report of this, which will really lay out the different options, will give folks some comfort level in the project as we move forward. And so I think this is very definitely a necessary first step.
Any other discussion? If not,
I'll make a motion that we adopt the resolution 65-2010 authorizing water loan expenditure of $20,000 from our general fund reserves and award a contract to Bartle and Wells for financial consulting services.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve item 9A and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Move on to 9B, which is a preliminary discussion of 2011 CCSD board goals. This is something that I put on the agenda, and I distributed. No. Down the road. I distributed to the board members the item that is appearing up here on the board today, and what I did was take the discussion I wanted to look at the items that we have been working on over the past 2 to 3 years so that new board members would be brought up to date as to where we're at. I also wanted to give everybody the opportunity to add to these goals, because actually normally we would set our goals in January. But to just walk in and say these are our goals without input, either by the public or by other other directors, I don't think is a proper way to do it. So what I've done is just kind of laid out here some general areas that we have been working on. What I want from the directors and from the public is to think about those, see if there are others that we should be adding to our discussion of what our final goals would be, deciding whether we should prioritize these goals, and then also deciding whether we set up permanent or ad hoc committees around these goals, and if that's the case, also then for you as individual directors to make it known to me as to what areas you're most interested in working on, so that we can make assignments that fit actual interests rather than just trying to even out the duties up here. So it's this is a discussion item only. It has we will take no action today on it. So it's basically open to wide open discussion. I know, Director Romico, you had some.
Yeah, I think we've touched pretty well on the water. These are key elements that we need to look at. I think there is an issue of prioritization. One item when you go down, number three, which is coordination of resources with the health department, health district in town and the county, that I guess that has to do with some of that co-location discussions that we had last year, and I guess it should continue if it's in the best interest of the Cambria Community Services District. But what is missing there is a similar issue, which we did have a wonderful presentation by the Cal Fire, and it's a big budget item in our project, in our municipality community, and I think it behooves us, if we're talking about financial responsibility, to look at both the operations effects of it and also the financial benefits we need to look at it. Like I said, there was I remember the presentation, it was well done. They're here, they help us now, they're an ancillary backup to our own fire department now. They are in the community because they sit on top of another hill. And the question becomes is if we can think about co-location with the health district, I'm wondering why we aren't co-locating, co-outsourcing, or however we look at it between the fire departments. So.
Well, there is an interesting thing, because one of the things that the Cal Fire also provides is paramedic services.
That's right.
So that doesn't preclude us talking with the healthcare district, the county, and Cal Fire all into maybe one kind of organization too.
Mm-hmm.
So but let's add Cal Fire discussion.
Yeah, I think what's important, and I'll bring it up because sure. it's the next issue that's going to face us in 2011, is we have contracts coming up in 2012, right?
Correct.
And I would like to know beforehand if there's alternatives, because it could take something right off the table for 2012 if we can work out the right thing, or if not, and whether ourselves in the community don't want to do something that we propose, then we have to face the other issue, which is high cost, the costs that are coming on board. So it does put us in a position of understanding what's going to happen over the next 2 years, and since that's my time horizon right now. Thank you.
I had written down exactly what you were speaking to, and I certainly agree. The other area I think that is on the minds of anyone in California, certainly in the county or ourselves, is salary and benefits, the total compensation. I think this is going to be a long-term activity. It's not something that's going to happen overnight, and I think that there is a question of a standing committee, of having members of the community and transparency to the maximum. It's going to be a very difficult thing, and I would say that would be from the standpoint of prioritizing, from my view, that has to be one of the top issues, particularly as we look at 2012 and the new negotiations for contracts.
Okay.
And next, I'm sure we're going to be putting out the what for next month. Or next month, we're going to be talking about board goals, and that's the what. But then we're going to have to discuss how we're going to go about doing that. And I think in certain areas, one of which is SCADA, but there's other areas I think that we can have some citizen input, some committees getting together and doing in-depth research on these things. I also would like to build on something that came up during the campaign. I think that the community is united about one subject, and that is growth. Every candidate would say, either on KTEA or in their materials, that limited or slow growth is something that they would appreciate. We might have disagreed on exactly how we go about getting alternative water supplies, but everybody talked about it. And I don't know if it's a sub-subject underwater or a separate subject itself, but what steps need to be taken in order to lift the moratorium? I think everyone wants to know that. And if we outline those steps, is it the water master plan? Is it adequate storage? What is adequate storage? That whole issue, I think, should be exposed as an item for this coming year.
So some discussion on the water moratorium.
What steps are necessary for it to be lifted? Correct.
If lifted, what kind of... You know,
what kind of process?
How we're going to
do it? What speed? What lack of speed we might want?
Okay. Director Thompson?
Thank you. As the past chair of the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Commission, I'm pleased to see that that we're going to be addressing the issue of parks and recreation opportunities, and certainly the cooperation with the school district on shared facilities is something that I think. Especially from a short-term goal, would be very much an issue during this coming year. I think there's an opportunity to have quite a bit more in terms of how this board can interface with the commission and also enhance the the community's support for things like the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve and the other types of park and recreational facilities we have in this venues we have in this community. I also have run to a few folks who have discussed with me the this particular building as one of our charges in terms of maintenance, upkeep, and I think folks look at this building and the grounds as pretty much the hub of the community. And I think we need to have some discussion, and perhaps under Parks and Recreation, it might be advisable to have some discussion about what our commitment is to this facility and other venues that we have control over.
Okay. Other areas or any further discussion on this point? Okay, if not, then basically what we'll do is put together a new list with maybe some added points. When we come in January, we can sit down and kind of say these are our goals. These are prioritized. It will give direction to staff. Hopefully at that point in time, then a lot of our meetings in the future will be reviews of where we're at rather than just dealing with crisis, because there will be a long-term goal in which we'll be looking for improvement at every particular meeting.
And I think we're going to have some input from the public, but I think if people, so we should, before we adopt that, we should let them
speak. Yeah, I know. I'm going to do that.
So, and possibly in January, if somebody's watching this on TV or something,
right.
They want to bring some ideas, they should do something.
The second part of it, though, is also I want those of you here on the board to think in terms of what areas you want to be most specially involved. We do have two requests to speak on the issue, so I'm going to go to them now. First is Amanda Reich.
Thank you, President Clift, and welcome to the new board members. Glad to see some new faces there. I just have a couple of comments about upcoming goals. They're in three main categories. The first one is public participation, and that has to do with, I know at the last meeting you approved next year's meeting schedule, and there aren't any evening meetings. I got here as early as I could. I have to work during the daytime. Sometimes it's nice to have occasionally, in the past there have been, evening meetings. And I know that's sometimes not always convenient, and it causes staff to be here late. But maybe that's something you could consider, whether or not it would be appropriate. Certain topics that come up might be appropriate for evening time, like maybe even the one you were just discussing about with the coordination with the parks, with the school board, might be one example. Also, there's a couple of other things with public participation in terms of policy on email retention that I still haven't seen come forward, and policies on requests for electronic records, and whether or not that's 20 cents a page, or if you charge for a CD, if you can get them electronically. There is still isn't a straightforward policy that I've been able to figure on that. The second thing is over the last year and a half, I've been a participant in the Water Emergency Alternative Citizens Committee, and we haven't had closure on that, and eventually we are going to have to deal with surcharges, which is what the last, the most recent topic that we were working on was surcharges, and hopefully we can do something about that before it comes to dry season where we're having to implement surcharges. The third main group is the this district is a member of the California Urban Water Conservation Council, and there are best management practices involved in being a member of that organization. And the 2010, your urban water management plan is going to have to be updated. That's coming up right quickly. And the CUWCC helps out on doing those plans. And I think that looking at what this district is doing in terms of best management practices for water conservation and water efficiency might be a good goal to set so that we're prepared to answer the questions of the Coastal Commission when they say, so what have you done in addition to wanting desal? What have you done to keep your opportunities for other water sources available, which is conservation and possibility of water recycling, because we're not just going with desal and the creeks. I also think that it might not be a bad idea for this district to consider doing water audits. They don't take that long. To do 3,800 residences in Cambria, if each took just about an hour, you could easily do the entire town for probably about $100,000, and make sure that what's happening in people's homes is what needs to be happening, which is making sure that their faucets have got the aerators on them, and that the shower heads are the right flow rate. And just speaking from myself personally, I moved to a home that does not have a dishwasher, have the same number of people, same number of bathrooms, and we use 3 units more per billing cycle because we don't have a dishwasher. I don't have any yard that I water. I didn't have a yard that I watered before. That's a lot. People think that a dishwasher uses a lot of water. Well, it takes a lot more water to wash dishes by hand. So just doing those small things can probably save this district quite a bit of water and put us in a good position to say, yes, we've done everything we can to make sure that we're using our water as best we can. Yes, we do need this extra water source, and yes, we do need to have these impacts are things that we need to do. So those are the three areas that I think that this board would be well considered to undertake. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. A request to speak from Jerry McKinnon.
Welcome to you all. We're on a great learning curve from one side or the other. And a part of this learning curve will be the public perception of accountability. And that will be, works both ways. Is the public accountable for the programs, for responding to your programs, and the other side of it, will there be opportunity for the public to act and you to react? As an example, I think there are no public committees that are formed in order to make suggestions to the board. Could the board form a committee that could work with a discussion of one point or another prior to it being adopted by the board as a whatever it is that you want to do? That's just an idea. And please, the postures that we have, the act and the react, it's not adversarial. When people have something to say, they say it because that's what their position is, not as an adversary, but merely stating a position. So I hope we can maintain the openness that we had in the past that will continue on into the future. I thank Director Thompson for bringing up this building as a focal point for your discussions and for your watching over. And that concludes my remarks. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jerry. Probably there's one other thing that we didn't necessarily add on there or didn't mention, and that's that we probably ought to be thinking about whether we want to do standing committees or ad hoc committees, and let's put that out for open discussion. Yeah, there's a price to it and not, and we just have to make a decision one way or the other on that. Any further discussion? Not, we'll move on to item 9C, which is the consideration of formation of an ad hoc committee for the CCSD coordination of services with Cambria Healthcare District. Cambria Healthcare District has changed its format slightly in terms of the directors, and in the past we've had discussions with that district regarding co-location of services, coordination of services, however different ways you want to talk about it. Each of them have come to kind of a stalemate at one point or another. I've had some preliminary discussions with one of their board members who's asked us to reconsider reformatting our committee to have discussions with them. Previously, Director Chellicott and Director Sanders served in the first committee. Then Director Sanders and myself served on the second committee. Now, I'd like to form a committee of myself and ask if there's another director who would like to join in, just so that we can say to the healthcare district, we're interested in talking and see where it goes, because they're kind of want to know that we're still interested before they make a decision at their board meetings here in the next month or two. So is there some I don't think this is an item that needs board action, because as president I believe appoint the committee myself, and I want to appoint myself because I've been on it for so long. But I'd like to have another director join me, and so if there's interest, Director Thompson?
I do have an interest in the subject, as based upon my former career with the with dealing with the public safety issues in Los Angeles, and also I think I've been chatting about this with Director Bates of the healthcare district for about 4 years, 6 years, and I'll yield to the senior members of the committee if they want to. Otherwise, I'd certainly be interested.
I'd like to. I'm sure that these discussions are going to be preliminary. And like Amanda mentioned, you know, I think that if any conclusions come up, it should be an open discussion rather than, you know, it might be an opportunity for the two boards actually to discuss this so that the public gets an idea of the directions and the concerns. Just a thought.
I would think that if we begin to have discussions, that it would probably expand beyond even the healthcare district, might expand to the county, might include CAL FIRE, and should obviously include the public. So I'll go ahead and appoint an ad hoc committee for to approach CCHD to indicate that we are interested in discussing with them the possibilities of coordination of resources to better serve the community. And I'll appoint myself and Director Thompson to that committee.
Your board bylaws require that you approve it. Your board approves it.
Oh, does it?
Mm-hmm. Section 9.1.
I move that.
Thank you, District
Council.
I
didn't vote for that.
I move that Mr. Clift and Mr. Thompson carry on discussions with the healthcare district on opportunities for joint services.
Second. Okay, I have a motion and a second to approve formation of an ad hoc committee for discussions with the healthcare district. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No. Okay, it's unanimous. That brings us to our final public comment period, and I have two requests to speak. Toby Crockett.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for all the hard work that you do to make our community strong and healthy and abundant and beautiful. Despite all of the sometimes contentious discussion, we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that you do a wonderful thing, and it isn't appreciated that everyone comes together and works hard. I'd like to address the topic of community building. I think it's lovely that so many comments that others have made and members on the board itself have made really point to a need for some kind of architecture that will allow for an efficient, good creation of community building and discussion. My own background is diverse, but I have a doctorate in visual studies, which I use to look at community building online, and I've continued that work in a variety of efforts and have found it tremendously inspiring to move to what I have to, as a former New Yorker, characterize as a small community. And what's very clear to me from my perspective is that this is real democracy in action. This is the root at which everything that is glorious and wonderful about our country begins right here. And making serious decisions, contributions, discussions, and forming some kind of consensus building, because that's how we move forward to do what we do. So I'd like to suggest that we reframe some of the I'll say contentious, somewhat adversarial tone that has evolved over the years, not only in the election, but clearly some frustration from the Cambria community about how we've gotten to the place where we are today together as a group. And I had a wonderful writing teacher who taught the brilliant engineers at MIT how to write. And one of the most wonderful things that she shared with us, I've been a professional writer for almost 25 years, is to understand that when you receive criticism of your writing, which, P.S., you've probably solicited so that you can improve your text, when you receive that criticism of your writing, this is one of the greatest gifts that you can receive. It can be very difficult for us to learn to shift our perspective and not feel defensive or attacked. We've invested so much time in our hard work. What do you mean you don't immediately understand what it is that I'm doing or what's important, etc.? I mean, it's hard for us. However, that person who's invested that incredible amount of time getting close to the piece of writing that you've done, the work that you've done, they've worked almost as hard as you have. And their goal is really only for you to achieve the goals that you had stated in creating that work that you're trying to improve. So the same thing is occurring here with the public. You know, in Cambria, we have an incredible population of doctorates, retired people who've run companies, people who are coming from all around the world, because this is one of the most amazing places to live your life. And this is the public which is coming and sharing their insights with you about how to improve the delivery of services that you clearly want to deliver. So in order to move away from some of the argumentative positions, I want to suggest that we, because we're all in this together, that we understand that that's hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of free consulting that you're getting from volunteers in the public who, like Elizabeth Bettenhausen, are running through and pinpointing exactly the place. Now you don't need to pay someone to tell you that this is the place where you're having some shortfall in the results that you want to have. Or you're getting affirmation, as Director Ruddick already said. Yes, we know we haven't gotten that particular report. We're working on it. So when someone comes along and offers you not just one, but perhaps five additional points, she's doing that piece of homework for you. And if you had to pay someone to do that, you know, you would run out of money. So it's just a way to reframe the participation of the public. And I really, really second the comments that have been made here today about creating committees and opportunities for the public to step in, to work in a functional, efficient manner. You have very intelligent people here. If you value them, they will value you. There will be a big shift in the discourse that's occurring here in the public. I know we're all looking at a fresh beginning. I myself just returned to Cambria after a three-year absence. It's a fresh beginning for me. I will be here at these meetings. I really hope that we can get onto a good footing and meet the needs of this community in a beautiful, terrific way that honors all of the great contributions of the plurality of viewpoints that exist here. Thank you so very much for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Jerry McKinnon. You're not held to the last, Jerry.
See this book? It's a very valuable book for the general public when we attend this meeting. However, there are only two of these available for the public. Now, when it comes to a discussion from your point of view on a specific, this is what we would like to consult in order to get the background information to respond if we think it be necessary. Two books is really not enough, because a book in my lap and a book in somebody else's lap, and there goes ignorance. Nobody else knows what's going on. And just tallying in my head, I think maybe 17 full agendas are printed up for each meeting. There are five of you here, another four here, and 2, 6, and the various departments that there are. Maybe if 20 of these were printed up, we could get maybe 3 more copies on the table out in front for people to use. They're very valuable if we want to know what it is you're talking about. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jerry. Amanda Rice.
Thank you. First, I'd like to say, hard for me to not stand up and jump up and down and say amen to the first public commenter. Thank you very much for those thoughtful observations, and I hope that the board heard them loud and clear. I think that they did. Second, two boards ago, we had a director that was named Elon Funky Blue, and I am taking it upon myself to carry on the tradition. I'm going to keep the comment very short. It has been 3,316 days. That's over 9 years now since the moratorium was declared in 2001. Worrying is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere.
Thank you. The last request to speak that I have is from Harry Farmer. Harry?
Thank you, Director Cliff. Amanda mentioning that I happen to have a rocking chair at home, and occasionally I'm sitting in it. I guess I'm just sitting there and not really getting a heck of a lot done, but just moving back and forth. At first I came here today, I don't even know why I'm saying this, but at first I came here today thinking I'm not even going to speak. And then as the meeting progressed, I said, no, I think actually there's a lot of things I need to say. And then after hearing Ms. Crockett's very eloquent and thoughtful comments on our community and the responsibilities of the board, I've X'd out a majority of things that I was going to say. But I do want to follow up on something that Valerie Benz said earlier, actually a couple of things. First, she made some comments about Ron Crummett, who spoke in a public comment a little earlier with regard to the board having, addressing a feeling of inclusion regarding the concerns of all Cambrians, as well as requesting greater transparency and openness from the board. So Mr. Crummett and I, who probably feel very different on the issues in this community, our birthdays are only a day apart, so I want to agree with those comments that Mr. Crummett said. However, also as Ms. Benz said, Ron stated that the election was a mandate for the board to continue on, the board and the district to continue on pursuing meeting the needs, our water and sewer needs of the town. I just want to mention the fact that there were 5,895 votes cast in the election for the members of this board, and only 316 votes separated myself, who finished fourth, and Mr. Thompson, who finished first. It was a very close election, which I think indicates that it's not necessarily a mandate to pursue the way things have been done in the past, but that especially regarding meeting the water needs of this community, that other alternatives, as Ms. Rice stated earlier, such as gray water systems and reservoirs, need to be taken into consideration once again, and not just pursuing the desal project. Also, with regard to what Mr. Hellman said, and this is something that I've stated before the board as well, tried to bring up during this particular recent election, but my voice was kind of muzzled. Once again, in addressing the specific costs with regard to the desal project over the past number of years, with regard to consultants and legal fees and repetitive studies and travel expenses and the cost of a lobbyist in Washington, D.C., who's currently being paid $6,000 a month. You know, the members of this community are concerned about this cost, especially that nothing seems to be happening at this point in time with regard to the desal project. Finally, I think what I'd like to do is just follow up in the spirit of Ms. Crockett's comments and wish the new members of the board and the board itself and the district all the best in addressing and meeting the water and sewer needs of our community. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Harry. Director?
I'd like to make one quick comment. One thing I learned from Greg Sanders is that you could pick up the phone and call him and get a cup of coffee with him. He must have drank more coffee in the last 4 years or 8 years. But I offer for the public, if you want to speak offline, I'm available anytime. Just give me a call, and I'd be glad to have an open discussion with any citizen. And also in my campaign, I promise to be able to be available similar to Open Porch Fridays that the Cambrian has. And so on my front porch the night before or the evening before every board meeting, I'd be available from 4 to 6. If you want to stop by and have a conversation, I'd be glad to host that.
Thank you. That concludes the regular business and the public comment. I would like to take just a little bit of a prerogative to say thank you for letting me stumble through the first meeting, and my apologies to Director Thompson. I used to have an employer by the name of Tompkins, and I inadvertently, in the moment of fear that occurs up here sometimes, even though you might think we all are very polished, there are times when you your tongue stumbles on it. So thanks for the having a good meeting today. I look forward to working with all of you, and with that I will adjourn the meeting.